Listen to me. When you see Jesus, it's over. There's no altar in heaven where people go to repent of their sins. When you see Jesus, it means your body has gone away.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Hollick, in the studio with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. And New Life Community Church is a unique place here in the city of Chicago. And Pastor Mark, what would you say to somebody out there who may not have a church home or who's been listening online or they've been listening on the radio and they want to grow in their faith?
Yeah, I would say find a good church, gospel preaching, Jesus honoring, faithful, love-filled church. And there's some great churches around Chicagoland, and I'm friends with a lot of great pastors that really love Jesus and are in this city. But we'd invite you also, if you don't know where to go, we'd love for you to check out one of our locations in and around Chicagoland area. We actually have 43 worship services that happen on Sunday. 8 of those in Spanish, 1 in Mandarin, the rest in English. And if you get onto our website, you can go to our our page that says locations, and you'll have a map of Chicagoland, and you can find one of our locations that's near you. We'd love to have you visit. And if you do, please let the pastor know that you heard about this through Straight Talk. We love to hear how our radio listeners give us some feedback.
If you say, I love God, I have a heart for God, I really haven't connected with the Church of Jesus, we want to challenge you to visit, at least just take a visit to a good gospel preaching church. And as Pastor Mark said, if you don't know where to go, come visit us. You can find out more information at www.newlifechicago.org. God bless you.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you with us again. Pastor Mark continues on with the second half of his message called The Power of God's Love. Our text will continue in the book of 1 John chapter 3 as we continue on in his series called Contrast, Be the Difference. Here's Pastor Mark.
The older you get, the more you tend to look, because the more you develop and the more you look like your parents. This is the way it is in our walk with Jesus. If you're a new believer, what John is saying is this: dear friend, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. In other words, you're a child of God, yes, but you're looking at an undeveloped, not fully formed child of God. What you are becoming is not yet fully seen. Notice what he says. But when he appears, oh, glorious day. But when he appears, who? When Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Right now you look at yourself and you say, I don't look anything like Jesus, because you're just a baby and you haven't been formed. But the more you grow in God, hopefully, if you're growing healthy in God, you'll start to look and talk and walk and think more like Jesus as you grow. And hopefully you are becoming more and more like Jesus. But the Bible says you can't really tell what we're going to be like fully yet. But when Jesus appears and we finally see him as he is, then in a light transformation moment, you will be like him. Listen to me. When you see Jesus, it's over. When you see Jesus, it means your body has gone away. When you see Jesus, your body's transformed. There's no altar in heaven where people go to repent of their sins. There's no 12-step group in heaven where we have to surrender and confess and work through all those issues. There's no "let me ask forgiveness" in heaven, because that doesn't exist. We will be transformed into the image. Oh, you'll still have your own personality, but you will go suddenly into the full-fledged, formed image of Jesus, where you will be glorified and you will be the perfect version of yourself when you are made in the image of Christ. And what John is telling us is that You're in a progress right now. You don't even know what you're going to look like when you're like Jesus, but it's on its way. It's coming. Oh, you may be making slow progress right now, but you are being formed in the image of Jesus. Why? Because of the love of God is planted inside of you. And then he says this, listen, verse 3. Everyone who has this hope in him, what hope? The hope that you're going to see Jesus. The hope that you are a child of God and you are progressing to be made more like him. Everyone who has this hope, what is hope? The expectation of a better future. The expectation of the promises to come. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. You see, the hope that you will see Jesus and become like Jesus and that you will stand before God, when you have that expectation and that hope, it causes you to purify yourself because you think at any moment I could see him. It's kind of like, well, have you ever had guests that are coming? Maybe it was your mother-in-law and she'd never been to your house and they're arriving from a long trip and they're supposed to arrive at, well, they're supposed to arrive at 1 o'clock, but they're not there. Your kids are in the house and they're kind of making a mess. And you say, clean it up because they're coming. Okay, don't make a big mess. And 2 o'clock, they're still not there. And you keep straightening things up because why? Because the in-laws are coming and they've never seen our house. And by 5 o'clock, you're still cleaning up more than usual because you have the expectation that you're going to see them quickly. And so that expectation causes you to clean house and to keep the house in order because there's an expectation that I'm going to see them soon. When you have the expectation that you will see Jesus, the expectation that you will stand before God. And by the way, some of you are kicking back saying, well, you know, I'm studying prophecy and we still have time, I think, because the temple has to be rebuilt and this has got to happen and that's got to happen. Listen, maybe all the prophecy's not fulfilled, but let me tell you, you could die of a heart attack tomorrow. There's none of us here that can be guaranteed that we may not be standing in the presence of God tomorrow. None of us here guaranteed that. Oh, you may feel like you're healthy. You may feel like you're strong. But there is no one that's guaranteed tomorrow. How about it? So when you have that expectation that I'm going to stand before God, and it could be at any moment. It could be tomorrow. It could be a year from now. It could be a month from now. But I have this expectation that I will stand before God, and it could be soon. That hope and that expectation causes you to purify yourself and you deal with things rapidly. You cleanse yourself rapidly. You don't tolerate sin in your life for a long time. Why? Because you have this hope that keeps purifying you, knowing that the love of God has made you a child of God, and therefore you're going to stand before God and be like him. And it's that love and that hope that causes you to walk in purity. The second thing that John says the love of God does in our life is that the love of God, when we have experienced the love of God and we have tasted of it and seen of it and become a child of his through his incredible love, then that love of God, it causes us to, well, to not be dominated by sin. Notice what it says in verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he may take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he remains in him. The second thing that John says that the love of God does, when you've truly experienced the love of God in this powerful, compelling way that's caused you to become His child, is that the love of God starts to drive the sin pattern out of your life. It drives it out. Let me explain how this works. John says everyone who sins breaks the law. What law is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the moral laws of God, illustrated in the Mosaic law, in Christ's law, and in some of the natural laws that are given to us just through nature itself. So when you sin, you break the law of God. So sin, in essence, is lawlessness. It's the defiling and breaking of the law. Now, you know, here's the interesting thing about sin and breaking the law. You can break the laws of the state of Illinois and break the laws of our government and sometimes get away with it. I mean, how many of you have ever broken the speed limit and not gotten caught? How many of you have talked on your cell phone in Chicago and not gotten caught? How many of you have texted while you're driving? Come on. And not gotten caught. How many of you have run a red light on purpose or maybe by mistake and not gotten caught? And you looked around. What happens immediately when you know you're breaking the law? I made it. And we've all broken the law that way. A couple weeks ago, I don't know what it was about it. I had had a great streak of not being stopped by any cops. You know, very nice streak, kind of proud of it. And I'm minding my own business, driving down the expressway, and a cop car pulls behind me. I look at the speed limit and think, oh, I'm going the speed limit. He pulls me over. I'm like, flabbergast. I'm thinking, are my plates expired? What's going on? He pulls me over and he says, you know why I pulled you over? I said, I think I was going the speed limit. I don't know. He said, you didn't have your seatbelt on. I seriously? I mean, I'm on I-55 and I'm being pulled over on the expressway because I didn't have my seatbelt on. I'm wanting to say, man, you're bored. I know it, you're bored, because, wow. I mean, I can understand that a seatbelt check, but to pull a car over, so I got a ticket. I was like, all right, okay. My wife was kind of smiling, like, yeah, I've told you a bunch of times where your seatbelt is. She was happy. Then I was driving down Archer Avenue, going through Willowbrook, about a week later, going through Willowbrook, and I went through a school zone, and so I went really slow through the school zone, and I'm talking on my phone. I know that outside of Chicago, you can talk on your phone, so I'm talking on my phone, I'm going the speed limit, I see the cop and kind of nod to him, you know, and then he turns around and pulls me over.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk Radio message called The Power of God's Love, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Contrast, Be the Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 John chapter 3. His message, The Power of God's Love.
I'm like, I was going the speed limit. I'm outside of Chicago. I'm allowed to talk on my phone, right? He said, not in a school zone. Did you know that? I didn't know that. So I got another ticket. I tell my wife again. She's really happy again. She's just smiling from ear to ear, and you know, I've told you to have that phone. It's like, wow. But here's the thing. How many times have I broken the law, gone a few miles over the speed limit, and not gotten caught. But with God, there is no times where you break the law that God doesn't notice. There is no time that you got angry in your heart or had envy that God doesn't know. There's no time where you swore and God didn't hear it. There's not a moment where you didn't have a flash of jealousy that God did not see that. There's not a time where you didn't gossip by the water cooler that God didn't hear the conversation. In other words, there is no time at all ever in your life that you've ever broken the law of God that God was not aware of it. So therefore, we are extreme lawbreakers. Because we violated the laws of God many times. But listen to what he says. He says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Have you ever read that verse? Has that ever scared you a bit? Let me read it again. No one who lives in him, who lives in whom? Who lives in God, keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anybody lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Let me tell you what John is telling us. John is not saying that if you sin, you're not a Christian. He's not saying that if you fall into sin, you're not a believer, okay? Because in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, he says we all sin, and if anybody says we don't have sin, he's a liar, right? So he's not telling you that if you sin, you're not really a believer. What he is saying is this. And sometimes in these cases, you have to go to the Greek verbiage really to understand exactly what he's saying. This verbiage is in the present tense in the Greek, which implies habit, continuity, and unbroken sequence. What does he mean by that? It means that if you live your life continually dominated by sin, that you are in the habit continually of breaking, sinning in that pattern, and that is what dominates your life. Not just, well, I sinned and I repented of it, got it right before God, but if you are in the habitual, continual habit, the pattern of ongoing sin in your life, then what John is saying is you need to rethink whether you've really encountered God. Because when you've encountered God in a powerful way, in a loving way, that love will drive sin out of your life. And it doesn't mean that you won't sin, because you'll fall. But when you do sin, you'll confess your sin, get it right before God, and move on. Some people say, well, you know, I prayed a prayer when I was 14 years old. I went to the altar to Billy Graham crusade, so I'm saved. And I know I'm living with my girlfriend, getting drunk every weekend, getting high, and I cuss like a sailor, but you know, praise God, I'm saved. And I would say, hold on a second. If you have a lifestyle or pattern of sin in your life and it's just going ongoing, what John says is you probably really never encountered God. Doesn't mean you didn't go forward at an altar call. But let me tell you, and let me make, I'm sure I'm very clear about this. I invite people to the altar to come to experience God and to know God. But praying a prayer after me at an altar does not make you saved. It gives you the opportunity to get saved. It gives you the doorway to salvation. Your prayer and faith, what will manifest your true conversion is how you live afterwards. What is the pattern of life that you're living afterwards? And if your pattern of life does not match up, if you're constantly living that kind of life, then John says you cannot have the seed of God inside of you and continue to live a pattern of sin. The seed of God inside of you will break the pattern of sin. And if you don't break the pattern of sin and you're dominated by sin, it could be very well the case that you've never really encountered God. He says, don't let anybody lead you astray. Some people are thinking, well, I could live this life and still know God. And John says, hey, don't be deceived. Don't let someone lead you astray into thinking that you can live that kind of life and still consider yourself a believer. He says, he who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Wow, that's pretty strong language. You see, in John's book, there is no in-between ground. You're either of God or of the devil. You're either walking in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. There's no in between. You say, well, I'm not really totally God. I'm not totally devil. I'm sort of in, is there a limbo out there? No limbo. Sorry. I'm kind of in gray. No. There's no such thing as gray. You're in the light or in the darkness. Now, what does that mean? Can you struggle as a believer? Yes, you can struggle as a believer. And I don't want everybody to start doubting their salvation now because you struggle with a habit that you're trying to get rid of. But listen, if you're not deeply convicted by it, if you're not driven to repent, if it doesn't bother you tremendously when you sin, if it doesn't drive you to want to confess it and get it right before God, if you can sin continuously and unabashedly and live in a pattern of sin and call yourself a believer, John says, think again, because you're probably not. That's pretty powerful, strong words, isn't it?
Yep.
Think again, because you're probably not. You cannot go on sinning unabashedly, habitually, without conviction and wanting to change it and stop it and get it right. You cannot continue that way and really call yourself a child of the Most High God. Because he goes on to tell us, which leads me to my third point. He goes on to tell us here, and by the way, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it talks about we are participants in the divine nature. And no one who's born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. Did you notice that? It tells us in verse 9. The reason the Son of God appeared, it talks to us about breaking the sin. He who does what is sinful, verse 8, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Verse 9, no one who's born of God will continue to sin. No one who's born of God will continue to sin. It doesn't mean no one who's born of God sins. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, I'm not sinless, I just sin less? Kind of like that. It's a little bit that idea. I'm not sinless. As a believer, you're not sinless. You're still going to sin, but you're going to sin less. You're going to sin less because the divine nature is inside of you. Verse 9. No one who's born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. Listen to me. Look at me. This is really important. If you are born again of God, the seed of God, what seed? The divine nature seed. It is inside of you. It's changing you. It's the Holy Spirit molding you. So you can't go sinning like someone who doesn't know God, just lives a lifestyle of sin, is not bothered by it. You can't just go on sinning without being convicted by it, without being challenged by it, without being disciplined by God, without being confronted by it. It will bother you, convict you, break you. You will struggle with it, be miserable, until you finally yield to the seed of God inside of you, which dominates the seed of sin. For us as believers, it causes us to question and think again, are the fruits of my life manifesting that I'm truly a child of the Most High God?
This concludes the second half of Pastor Mark's message called The Power of God's Love, which is from our series called Contrast, Be the Difference. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for Part 6, Testing the Spirits. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.